This is The Record on KUOW, the Week in Review Extra, brand new material, not things we left on the cutting room floor, brand new and fresh, every Friday, just like what Amazon delivers. Knut Berger is here. He writes the Mossback column at crosscut.com. Joni Balter writes at the Seattle Times. C.R. Douglas analyzes at Q13 Fox News. It's good to see you all.
Good to see you, Steve.
Good day.
Hello.
Two issues I just want to talk to you about, and by way of getting to a bigger subject again, which is the evolving politics of this state. We are faced in Seattle with two interesting measures. One is, again, some folks trying to get district elections established for the city council. The other, putting some kinds of controls on city council race donations and money coming into those races. CR, you've been looking at both those?
I have. I mean, the public financing one probably has a little bit better chance. This would allow more people more access to money to run for office, is the claim. Proponents say, hey, it's too expensive, cost about $250,000 to run a city council campaign, and that just self-selects out a whole bunch of people that just don't have, you know, the friendship network to do that. It sounds very appealing. It sounds like, well, of course this should work. But it turns out that in a lot of other cities that have done this, it doesn't have these wonderful effects you might think. It doesn't actually create more candidates. It doesn't actually create more competitive elections, meaning, you know, these really close elections. You still have, you know, pretty wide margins in the victories. It doesn't necessarily create more diverse, meaning economically or ethnically, legislatures. So I'm not saying this is a necessarily bad idea, but the kind of intuitive sense of what this would do doesn't necessarily hold up in the other cities that have tried it.
One of the critiques of this particular measure is that it still allows for outside money to fund candidates outside the
if you don't participate, right. Yeah. And also that it's a property tax. And so the question that I've read and thought was an interesting argument was the notion of if you're gonna do a property tax increase, what are your priorities? Is that the first thing that comes to mind? The other one, of course, is the district elections, and this is the fourth time, if I'm not mistaken, that this has come up in recent history. It's been very quiet. This proposal is for 7 geographic districts and 2 to be elected at large. It's a little different from the one that went down about 10 years ago, but it raises the same arguments. What I'm struck by this time is how quiet it is. There's no big campaign either side. If you press the people on both sides what they think of it, they sort of don't care that much if it passes. And so it might pass because it's so quiet. This would be the fourth attempt on this one.
Yeah, I know you've said that. What do you think about either of those, Knut?
Well, I think both measures are a shake up the status quo. At least that's kind of how they appear on the surface. One is that, for most of a century, we've had council members elected on a citywide basis. And the argument is the council is not diverse ideologically, and that it would they're not accountable to actual voters. That if you have districts, you actually have a specific council member that you can go to and complain and say, I need you to do something about these potholes or whatever. And I think after having the sort of citywide thing for so many years, that looks fresh to us. It's, of course, what a lot of other cities do. It's not a particularly fresh model. I'm not sure that it would give us better government, but it is different. It would shake up. Crosscut had a map this morning showing where the current city council members live and in which districts. Some of those council members would have to move in order to run for re-election.
Where'd Bruce Harrell live in that map?
Oh, he lives in Seward Park.
In Seward Park, about 3 doors from the entrance.
Well, no one would have to move, but if they didn't, they would be running against an incumbent.
That's right.
And
that
could actually be very interesting. You know, we have a lot of 9-0 votes in the city council. What if they start having to run against each other in that first 2015 cycle?
Right.
I want to watch that campaign.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of – that's partly exactly the point that I think people are hoping that there'll be a greater sort of competitiveness and diversity on the council. I think the funding thing is kind of aimed at that. The idea is that small candidates would be able to get public funding if they could show, I think you have to raise about $6,000 in $10 donations or so to qualify. But I thought it was very interesting that practically the entire council endorses that, you know. So I'm not sure it would shake up the incumbents. In fact, it probably just makes their life easier because they wouldn't have to dial so much.
Well, one of the interesting things here is one of the arguments for this is to say that you would get a more diverse council. You would have more more challengers. But the county council is by geographical district, and the county council has some of the least turnover and some of the fewest challengers if you look at the history of it.
Well, you and I talked this week about the power of incumbency and how incumbents in Seattle often hold on to their city council seats for decades, and they shape the city that way. Once you're in, it seems like you're in. All right, Knut Berger, Joni Balter, C.R. Douglas, thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you, Steve.
All fresh for the record. This is the Week in Review. I'm Steve Scherr.